The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your drinking JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Do you want to bring him in too when he comes in? Is one of them not pressing the same button at the same time?
Sure. Do you want to try to do it? Like, press the button at the same time, see what happens?
Three, two.
Footy,
hey, it's Footy Prime. It's Footy Prime. It's Thursday. Although it's not really Thursday, it's Wednesday. We're taping this. We're pre-taping this. But that's not for the audience to know. But now they do. Wink. So if we're dated at all, it's not our fault. But we're getting set for Whitecaps up against San Diego this Saturday. Dubs is here. Craig's here. Jimmy's here. I'm Shams. We'll soon be joined by the midfield maestro, Sebastian Berhalter from Vancouver, who, we've been singing his praises for months this season. It's been a breakout campaign for him, hasn't it, really, guys? He's been such a huge part of that team. And maybe his signature match was last weekend against LAFC, just from the, I won't call it theatrics per se, but the passion he showed on the pitch. It was something to behold. It was a great performance by the entire team in crazy situation given the red cards and what happened there, but we discussed that earlier this week. But yeah, Craig, this guy, he's 24, he's only 24, yeah. Maybe a late bloomer, right? A late bloomer, which in football circles, I guess, isn't that uncommon. But what a year he's had.
Yeah, no, he might be. He certainly in the last couple of years, his rise has been incredible. Comes obviously from a footballing background. And he's done incredibly well. It's exciting times for him because the national team is now something that's a possibility, and he's now involved, it seems, with that, and he should be, and I would expect him to be part of that. And then with the excitement of Vancouver, a club football that's going so well for him, it couldn't be much better. Obviously, beating San Diego will make things better, but overall, it's exciting for him, and he deserves it because he's he's proving to be a top quality player. I know Jimmy loves him and loves his work rate and everything that he brings to the game. Love his style and his delivery. And yeah, I think any MLS team would be better for having him in the team.
Jimmy, he's your favorite MLS footballer right now?
Yeah, he's one of my favorites in the league, that's for sure. It's exactly what Craig said. I don't know his style off the pitch, but on the pitch, he's really good. Like the way that he plays.
Yeah, I wonder what his style is off the pitch.
He's got a YouTube show, right? The Breakaway. A couple of episodes on there. He does this cold dip, match day minus one. And it's all about mindfulness and doing things you don't want to do. So getting up at 6:15 in the morning, right, Dubs? You didn't want to do that. And then you don't want to jump into a cold lake. But he does.
Does he go in the ocean?
What's that?
Does he go in the ocean?
Well, let's ask him.
Your mic,
can we bring him in?
Is your mic working right, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Jimmy's mic never fucking works.
Why does it sound like it's not working?
That's all right.
It is.
All right, I like it.
There's Sebastian Berhalter. Hey, welcome to the show, mate.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Doing good. Thank you.
We're just talking about this cold dip you do, match day minus one, and mindfulness, and why.
You know, it started almost like a year and a half ago, and it was something that I was like, what am I doing? Like, when am I uncomfortable? And I was just like thinking about it. I was like, I don't feel like almost in a day sometimes I'm not even uncomfortable. You know, I'm just going through things, and it's fine. And then I like saw some of David Goggins like to push yourself, and then one day I was like, all right, I'm just gonna like, why can't I just go in the ocean? You know, he was doing it. I was like, why can't I do it? So then I did it, and then I did it a couple times. Like, all right, this kind of sucks. And then my buddy Steffi Bovalina started doing it with me, and then it just became like our thing that every game day minus one, you know, he walked my place, we walked the water, you know, do our thing, come back. So it just like started with just trying to be a little bit more comfortable.
Is there anything that you guys do as a team, as the Whitecaps? Because you guys have proven over the course of this season that you guys are mentality monsters. I mean, you look at that match last week, like against you guys. I mean, you had to slay the dragon. That was LAFC. Third time's the charm. You were able to do it. But within 120 minutes in a penalty shootout, like that was almost a microcosm of the season that you've lived. So is there something that you guys do as a team that it, that serves to almost train you to exist in that discomfort?
I mean, if going out counts, I guess. But honestly, it's, I think it's just time. I think it's time. Like, I think we've had so many guys have been here for almost 4 years, you know? So I think that just is us being together for so long and knowing each other so well that, you know, no one is going to give up in this moment. And, you know, we're just going to fight and give it all we got.
Is it the ocean you dip in, or is it a lake? What is
it's
it?
It's like, it's connected to, what is that called? You know what it's called?
Oh,
it's
an,
like,
is it False Creek?
Yeah, False Creek. Yeah, I don't even know what it is. Yeah,
I really lived by there for a couple years when the national team was based out in Vancouver, so our apartments weren't too far away from there.
Yeah. Is it polluted?
Super. I get that every time. Super polluted. yeah, I haven't got sick yet, and, you know, all the water, yeah.
Be honest, though. You've tried to recruit other members to do it, right? And they've said, fuck that.
Pretty much. Pretty much along those. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I would have been that guy. I would have been like, no.
Yeah.
You guys feel your boots.
Yeah.
In the bathtub.
You're right.
So you guys are heading down to San Diego, I believe, on Friday. And we were talking just before you came on and, you know, the different surfaces that you, you know, you play on. And, you know, we're now going down to play on a hybrid Bermuda pitch compared to an artificial, different grasses that you play on. Do you find that there's a challenge there with the team and yourself personally when you're playing on different surfaces?
Not really. I think it's just something that you like, it's just something you can't control, you know? So there's not something that, you know, it's the same as for the other team and you can't control it. So there's, for me, is there's not something to, like, you know, get worked up about or, you know, let it get into anything I do. It's just, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Sebastian, you're one of my favorite players in the league. I love watching you. I love watching the way that you play, your relationship with Kuvas, even Viti when he was there. I'm looking at your career, and you're at Columbus, then you were on loan to Austin. And I'm a firm believer that every footballer needs to find a home where you're comfortable and you start to really enjoy your football. What is it about Vancouver, the city and the club, where all of a sudden now you're just flourishing and playing a fantastic brand of football?
Yeah, I think it starts with, you know, them believing in me, you know, and me feeling that. Again, there was no reason for them to trade for me. You know, I barely even played. Really almost nothing to show as a professional soccer player yet. You know, just proved myself. We did win the MLS Cup the first year, but didn't, you know, have an impact really. And yeah, so I think it started with that belief, and then, you know, just having the almost just them welcoming, you know, comforting me and just nurturing it, you know, and being like, okay, you're not going to play right away, you know, just keep working. And for me, it was just every day was just, okay, I'm just going to try to keep getting better and, you know, take one day and stack it on top of the next. So it just created an environment that, you know, let me grow and let me improve and yeah, just to keep getting better and better.
You cost, I think, $50,000 in allocation. I think that was the trade. I mean, it's one of the great steals in recent MLS history. It seems like you spoke about this on YouTube on The Breakaway about how there was a time where you didn't think you were good enough. Well, you looked around and you thought, I'm the worst player on the pitch right now. When was that moment then it clicked? Or did you always have the confidence? It was just finding the right situation.
Yeah, with that 50K, we joke that it's a couple of ball bags and a pump. That's usually what I say. It was almost like I knew how bad I was, and I never, like, I'm such a confident guy and confident player that I'm like, okay, like, you know, I'm good. Like, I'm still good, you know? And then it just hit me. I was like, maybe this isn't good enough. You know, maybe I'm actually turning every single ball over training, and I just had to be real with myself. You know, my pops had a huge impact on that, and being real with me and saying, look, like, you're like, you need to get a lot better, you know? And he was right. And, you know, having those hard talks with me, and then it was after this game in San Jose. I told him, called him, said, hey, I might, you know, like, might have to quit here. You know, I'm just like, dude, this isn't even fun. You know, I'm not having fun. Like, I thought I loved this. Like, I don't think I love it, you know? And he's like, you know, he's just supported me, honestly, like, whatever. He's like, just keep working. Like, whatever you want to do, just, you know, no problem. Keep working hard and you know, see where it ends you. But if this is what you want and you just want to stop playing, no problem, you know? And I was like, okay. Mm. So, you know, from then it was just like finding processes and finding routines and kind of doing the most, you know, like writing down my whole day of every minute of what I'm going to do and reading books and talking to people and just gathering resources and, you know, creating like a team around me almost. And now that support system is the reason why I'm here today, because I have, you know, can reach out to so many people. And honestly, I feel like a lot of sports players go through similar things where they have a moment where they're not that good. And then all of a sudden now it's like, okay, like, how do I get better? And, you know, how do they adapt? So I don't think it's super uncommon. I think mine was a little bit more extreme because I wasn't even a player yet. You know, I wasn't even like, you know, I didn't have any pressure on me. It was just like, I wasn't even, you know, good enough yet. So yeah, right. I think that, that's that moment has been the biggest moment in my career so far to let me to where I am today.
With your dad being such a high profile guy in the United States and, you know, playing all over the place. And you were born in London because he was at Crystal Palace at the time. Did that add a little bit of pressure on you as well, having your dad being so high profile?
I think it only helped because it kind of gave me that chip on my shoulder. You know, I was never good enough. I was just a coach's son, you know? And I think without that little motivation, that little, like, you know, trying to prove people wrong, it's still the way I play today. You know, I still have that fire and still have that, like, I just want to keep, you know, proving people wrong. And sometimes I've no one even wrong to prove, you know, and then there's no one, like, sometimes I just make it up, you know, and I'm just like, all right, like, I just got to keep going and show this people and show, and it's just how I am. And, you know, I remember a previous coach talking to me, he's like, hey, like, you don't need to keep proving anything to us. You know, you're good. And I was like, once I'm good, you know, I know I'm in a tough spot, you know? So that's why I'm like, no, like, I want to keep getting better and I want to keep, you know, proving to myself and to everyone that, you know, I'm the player that I think I am.
That chip on your shoulder mentality, is that set up perfectly for Vancouver Whitecaps and what you guys are trying to do this year and how you're seen, perhaps, like the perception of the Whitecaps in MLS, that you're out to kind of prove people wrong?
I think so, but I also think it's deserved. We've never won anything. We've never advanced past the conference, you know, semifinals. So it's like people shouldn't expect for us to be where we're at, you know? And I think when I came into the club with Tristan Blackman, he just came from LAFC and had a lot of success there. And I think we were the only two guys who came into the transfer window and we were just looking at each other like, whoa, like, this is kind of a reality check, you know? Like, we're like, all right, like, we need to, you know, things are going to have to change here and we're going to have to be a big, big part of it. And it's going to take time. And I think we both knew that. And, you know, other guys coming in and Jesper coming in has really helped that. But I think that's something that is, it's been big just to, you know, let it take its time. And then eventually, you know, it's going to come and be patient and just keep doing the right things.
How is it playing under Jesper? He just seems to be getting the best out of you guys, and you're playing a terrific brand of football at the moment.
He's great. I think he's a realist. He's always, you know, he's never going to sugarcoat anything. He's never going to.
He's Danish. He doesn't know any other way, right?
What it is.
Stop it, Doug.
Yeah. No, it's exactly what it is. He doesn't know any other way. And, but he cares. You know, he cares about the person before the player. And I think that's important. And that's what guys have connected to. And I think, yeah, everyone has just loved him coming in and just being who he is, honestly.
He spoke about your football IQ, and you mentioned there how you're a student of the game. It really kind of turned around your career. But there is that side to you, but then there's that passion as well. And seeing that on Saturday, lifting not just your teammates, but the crowd as well. Even us watching, it's like, come on, get in there, son. Because you're just so alive with the match itself. Does that come naturally to you as well?
Yeah, no, it definitely comes naturally. I think, honestly, growing up around my dad, and I felt like I was an ultra of, like, four teams, you know, with every team he was with. And just, like, you know, I'm in with the fans cheering, and I'm feeling everything the players are feeling. And I think that had a big impact on how I am today. And, you know, I've been a fan almost my whole life, and I know what it's like to be, you know, in the stands. So, yeah, I think that was something where it's just how I am. It's just natural. And, yeah, it just felt like, you know, what we needed and what was going to get us over the finish line.
There's no better example of that, like letting like the fan, like the noise, the energy in BC Place, and maybe the adulation too, like when you're at the corner flag and you're especially Willie's corner, So I'm sure you're well aware of the lore there, but I wanted to ask you, like, your dead balls, obviously, whether it's for the U.S. men's national team or the Whitecaps, you're just brilliant on these set pieces. But you have a drink and you take a pause. It might be a little bit performative, but I love it. And then you spray the ball. So is that part of the routine? Is that just something you do instinctively, or is that deliberate?
She stole my question. That was my question.
No, that's my fucking question, Jimmy. Get out of here.
Nice you caught on that. Yeah, so that's something I started doing, like, I want to say like 4 months ago. And the drink is just whatever. I'm just tired. But the ball, I might be making this up, but I basically spray it because first it's consistent. So anytime I take a corner, if the ball's always wet, it's always wet. You know, sometimes feels drier than another field or more wet, and you just don't know how it's going to come off your foot. I feel like when the ball's dry, there's more traction. So if I hit it a certain way, the ball can just fly on me, you know, and I try to prevent that. So when I put water on it, I can really hit the ball hard and then have it spinning and not move as much, not have it, you know, fly over or you know, for me, I know that if I hit it in a certain spot and I can really whip it, it's just going to spin more. You know, it's not going to sail across the whole 18. So, yeah, that's the thought with that. I don't know if it actually works, but it's just now my routine. So,
well, it maybe helped Larice to spill that rebound off of Mueller's header.
That's exactly.
I was going to say, if a goalkeeper, I wouldn't be happy about that. I've been using a dry ball, and all of a sudden, there's like this could come in wet. Like it's just different. Certainly, play with your head a little bit for sure.
Yeah, no, and even for the guys attacking, I think it's just more of like a flick, you know. I don't think it, I think it's the same thing. Like when it's dry, it kind of like will stick to your head more, and it has to be more precise, you know. I think if you're just
right,
you can just kind of guide it on.
It's going to be all these kids around Vancouver now, right? Spraying the ball, and the coach is saying, "What are you doing?" It's like, well, Sebastian does it. So I mean, post match on Saturday on the Apple interview, great interview, but you were almost speechless. You were just, you couldn't really believe what had happened. Does it all kind of make sense now, having watched tape? You know, are you more comfortable with just the theater of that whole night?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense winning 9-11. You know, that makes it's a lot of sense.
It was crazy, right? It was just one of those moments, I suppose. And to get through it the way you did, what was it like post match in that room? Because, you know, I watched Thomas Muller post, you know, he's pumping his fist, but almost to say, we've done nothing yet. We've got to the next phase. Was that what it's like? You know, 100%. Yeah, there's some celebration, but you're all looking forward now to that next match.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Ryan Gold had a kid the day before, so I think we were celebrating that, and everyone, you know, started.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Name, yeah.
So that was,
But no, it wasn't, you know, we still have two more games, you know, and that's a conference semifinal. Again, it was dramatic and a lot of emotion involved in the game, especially against LAFC, but we know that we still have two more games, so it's not, it's not something that we're going crazy about, like you guys said.
Tell me.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
No, I was going to ask you how
excited. Oh, don't.
No, I was going to say, tell us what it's like for you as a midfielder alongside Kubis, and you got Thomas dropping into that hole. Just what it must be surreal for you at times as well, just thinking, look, I'm playing with Thomas Muller here on this pitch, one of the best players in world football. How has that been for you?
I think it's the best thing that he is not surreal, you know, because he doesn't make it surreal. He makes it like he's one of the guys and it's just Thomas, you know, and you don't think about all the trophies and whatever 30, however many trophies he's won and World Cup and Champions League, you know, he's your teammate, you know, and he makes it like that. And he doesn't want to be more than your teammate, you know, and he just wants to be winning games and helping. And you know, if we have to have a go at him or someone has to say something, it's like he understands it. You know, he's not like freaking out about it. It's not like, oh, I'm bigger than you. Like he's totally just, he wants to be one of the guys. And I think that's the best part about him.
Yeah, Thomas, pull your finger out of your ass.
Any chance you tracking back?
Yeah.
No, listen, it's been a great story, though. It really has. We're thoroughly enjoying it. You know, it's the biggest story in Canadian sports right now. It really is. So listen, great stuff so far. We can't wait till Saturday against San Diego. It's going to be something pretty special. So thanks so much for your time, Sebastian, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having
me. Thanks a lot. Best of luck.
All the best.
Thanks, Sebastian. Awesome.
Thank you.
That is Sebastian Berhalter of the Vancouver Whitecaps. another amenable athlete. I guess the media training helps to a certain point, right? They're comfortable in front of the camera, but he's got a personality as well. The Whitecaps, they're in good shape for a while. Yeah, okay, Thomas Muller's, you know, in his mid-30s, but you've got the likes of Sebastian there, 24. I thought he was older than that for some reason.
Yeah, 24. It seems like he's been around longer, yeah. But even like we've done interviews with Ali, Ryan Gold as well, like, and, you know, just
Jaden,
quality people and just have a really good understanding about what it takes on the field, but also off it, which is just really refreshing and great to see. He's quality guys.
Yep. Heads on right. Really level-headed, right?
Yeah.
That's what I felt like. And that, like, his answer when Jimmy asked him about Thomas Muller is like, I think the best thing is that it doesn't feel surreal. And that is just as much a credit to Thomas Muller and his approach coming into the Caps after a storied career at Bayern Munich and winning a World Cup with Germany. And we know all the accolades that he has, but it's also the way that he's received by that team. You know, that they're just like, this is just another guy that's going to allow us to elevate our play, but we're going to continue and assume the same identity that's gotten us here. And that's pretty critical, I think, at this point, because they're just like, yeah, we've got two more matches left until we lift that cup. And that's what they, you said it this morning, Sharms, team of destiny. And like, yeah, it's played, it's cliched, all that sort of thing, but it's kind of what it feels like from the outside looking in anyway, when you're talking about the Caps.
Mm-hmm. It's so true, right? It goes both ways, doesn't it? You know, you bring the superstar in who's got to adapt, you know, perhaps realize, okay, I'm not playing in the Bundesliga anymore. But it does take the players in that room to realize, okay, he's just one of us. He's a human being.
Wow.
I wonder if that happens in Miami. Think it happens in Miami? And nothing against Messi, but I wonder if that happens in Miami. Messi's not with the backtrack. When he's not backtracking or defending, does a young player stand up and say, hey, Leo, move.
Yeah. Any chance?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they do. It's curious, right?
I think that Messi's the type of guy that would be a great teammate as well and understand it. Like, I think he gets it. And I think the rest of the players also understand where he is in his career. And we might need to do a little bit of the dog work for him. And that's understandable. I think with Thomas Muller, I think, you know, it's such a, He's the reason why it settled so well, because he could be such a different individual, but he's not. He's everything that you want from a DP in the dress room, in the public, in the eyes of everybody. It's he's made it easy for those players to like him and for him to have a real positive approach to everything and feel to it.
Who was it I read this week? It may be the musician. And they found themselves, oh, maybe Ed Sheeran. There was Ed Sheeran? I forget now. Anyway, they found themselves in Miami and in a corridor with Messi. And he was like, wow, it's Leo Messi, big football fan. And he just started talking to him for five minutes talking to Leo Messi, until one of Messi's handlers came over and said, he doesn't speak a word of English. I forget who it was, like, though.
Wow, what a nice guy. What a great listener. Nice.
Exactly. Nodding. I love that. I don't remember who it was. I think it may be Ned Sheeran, but I could be completely wrong there. All right. Anything else you want to touch on for the Caps ahead of, tomorrow we're going to talk to Asa some more and get you set up for the match. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to talk about before we say farewell?
I think what we're on to when we're talking about Messi and Mueller, it's that aura, right? And they assume it in very different ways, and the language and accessibility to them might have something to do with it. But we didn't get a chance to dig into it with Sebastian. But I think what you've seen is evolution from like being a peripheral fringe player when the Crew won the cup and kind of MLS is back in 2020, and then his loan spell and then to the Caps, is not only a player kind of growing before our eyes, but it's the leadership as well that he's assumed over the course of that, and like under Sartini and now under Sorensen. And then even like over the course of this season with the myriad of injuries that the team has had, and how he's continued, like he's been a key cog. He's been kind of the consistent piece in the middle of the park with Kubas, right? I mean, and everything has changed around them. I mean, there's been more guys there, and we all know the names in the Caps that have lent a hand this year. And it's been, I think, a season where it's been success by committee. But he's been the one constant this season. I think it's due to, of course, his play, his brilliance on the ball, being box to box, lending a hand in possession, those long balls, the set piece mastery that he's shown, the defensive work, the ground cover, the relentlessness about his play and his mindset. But it's also the leadership that's woven into all of that. And I think he needs to get more credit for that.
Yeah, we didn't get into his international year.
Yeah,
which, you know, January didn't make the camp, but after that, what was, you know, one of the most consistent figures for the U.S. men's national team, mm-hmm. and what that means for a potential World Cup. I mean, I'm assuming he'll make the squad at the very least.
Maybe yeah, he's got to make the
key component, right? I mean, we've been saying he's best midfielder in MLS, arguably. Mm-hmm. For me, that makes the squad for sure. He's been really important.
Mm-hmm. What that means, and I think a guy like Pochettino would love.
We lost Craig.
We'd love to have him on the squad. I agree, Craig Forrest.
Yeah. Yes, we lost you. There, you're back now, Craig. We lost you.
There you are.
Yeah, I just say that Pochettino would love that type of profile. And when he's at his best, I don't think that he wouldn't be part of the U.S. team. Mm-hmm. I would be shocked.
Did you, so Jimmy and Craig, you probably crossed paths with his dad, Dubs. His mom played in the 90s, probably just before your time, right? In the U.S. Yeah. college.
Well, they all three, like I think he has three siblings and then his mom and his dad, Rosalind or Roz, I think her name is, they all both went to UNC as well. And so did Sebastian. I mean, right. So we know the history of success with the Tar Heels, especially in the women's game, right? Like, I mean, they're an unbelievable program. So yeah, we should have asked him about that and the influence of his mom, certainly, because he not only had his dad as a role model in terms of how to be a footballer, but he has had his ma as well.
Good genetics.
Yep.
Good genetics.
What is a Tar Heel? Anyone know?
I don't know.
Something to do with the Tobacco Lane, where all the tobacco fields are. And I guess it's maybe the workers working in the field.
Oh, really? That would make sense. And also, I'm surprised it hasn't been banned nowadays. What about the kiddies?
Now I'm curious.
They'll be smoking in no time. You look it up, Dubs. You looking up?
Yeah, you gotta pull up the real reason.
Yeah, it originated in the state's history with the tar and turpentine industry. And during the Civil War, it was reclaimed by North Carolina soldiers to show state pride.
Oh, okay. Mm. Oh, so Tar Heel is actually
a nickname
military.
For a native.
Yeah. Okay.
For a native of North Carolina. Yeah.
You're close enough, Jimmy. It made sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, that's a footy primer. Thanks to the Caps once again and Sebastian Berhalter. We will preview the match in some depth tomorrow on Footy Prime with Asa Rahman. So until then, everyone, thank you for listening. Chat later.
And I should say yesterday was a comment show. And then I think we've gotten good traction for the Caps shows, right? And somebody was like, bring back Asa. Like everyone's happy to hear us on it, but they're like, bring Asa back.
Yeah, he'll become Asa's coming.
Well, we like having Asa on as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he's like the best. The furniture.
Yeah, he's having fun with it all too. I'm glad because it's always more fun when you're doing games when the team's winning. So it's good.
Well, I think our numbers represent that too, right? They do really well.
Like, yeah. Everybody's buzzing.
Come on, Montreal. Come on, Toronto. Get your shit together. You know, winning teams are better for us. So please. All right. Bye.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter. If we ever make one.
It's hard to win.